Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Hour 2. I want to thank my last fine guest, and he was a fine one indeed. Thank you for coming around, Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And Mrs. Dr. Harvey Kay was here as well. Very nice to meet them both. First time I ever met Harvey face-to-face, and I never would have suspected. Man's got a cool car. Driving a Mustang. What was that, a hybrid, right?
No. That was the four-cylinder turbo. So efficient.
Harvey drives a turbo. Dr. Harvey K, great having you come in studio. And you can be a part of this big program. We'll take calls right now at 844-967-2789. Going to the phones, and a very patient Jack from Merrimack. Welcome back, Jack. What do you got?
Well, judicial philosophy is what I've got. It's pretty clear, first of all, that Gorsuch should not even be a justice because, arguably, I suppose, but I think unconstitutionally, McConnell held up Garland's nomination for almost a year. Then there's a clearly emotionally unstable Kavanaugh. And then, and this is probably the worst of the lot.
You talk about judicial philosophy, Jack, but what about judicial temperament, right? Kavanaugh did not meet that standard, not to my opinion.
Well, for sure that's the case, but all three of those Trump-appointed justices have one philosophy, period. It's to throw this country back into the 19th century when the big businesses essentially ruled our government. And we're already pretty close to that now. They don't need any help. But what bothers me most about those justices is the espoused judicial philosophy, Tony Barrett, and when she said, and I can't quote it exactly, but she basically said a law career has one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to promote the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, you've got somebody on the Supreme Court who is essentially saying, yep, this country should be run by a religious oligarchy.
Well, I didn't vote for her, Jack.
Neither did I, let me tell you that.
Jack, you know, only thought I'll bring up. Clarence Thomas, apparently feeling under the weather. He has been hospitalized with flu-like symptoms. You know what would be very interesting is if the liberals actually could win a few seats back. Let's say Thomas was incapacitated, felt like it was time to retire from the seat. That's when the real war would begin, is if the liberals or the, you know, moderates in the case of Joe Biden actually won a foot of ground back in this war for judicial philosophy, Jack. I think that's where we'd see the real battle. Because if you'll recall, the Gorsuch seat would have been a swing seat. That would have turned the court from 5-4 conservative to 5-4 liberal. And of course, by blocking that, by making it an electoral issue in 2016, A, they helped get a guy like Ron Johnson reelected. Because Ron's entire reelection campaign, Jack, if you'll recall, was let the people decide this Supreme Court seat. And apparently, yep, you know, they got enough people that thought judicial politics was an important issue because it would have changed the makeup of the court. It would have swung the philosophy of the court. So not only did they hold the 5-4, then they added Kavanaugh, And then when RBG passed away, now it's a 6-3 conservative court. You know, this will be disastrous for about, you know, half the rest of our lifetime, Jack. At least in terms of any good progress that is made, campaign finance laws, you name it, any progress that's made legislatively will be chipped away and chopped down by this Roberts-led 6-3 conservative court.
I think that that Roberts could conceivably be a swing vote, but certainly those other three, the other five ultra-right-wing justices, there's no way they're going to be swing votes.
Well, there is no swing vote until we carve back one more seat. And, I mean, we're just holding serve at this point. So, you know, this big battle for Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination, that's just to hold a three-seat minority on the court. And they're going to treat her like she's the second coming of the Antichrist. You know, that's what they do over every seat. You cannot imagine what it would be like if we were actually creeping back some real estate right now, Jack.
Yeah, I can. That's, Connell has already said that if he is, if he regains the Senate majority, he's going to block not just Supreme Court, but every single Biden judicial nomination. That's the whole Republican philosophy is obstructionist.
No, Jack, you make excellent points. I appreciate your patience. I appreciate you listening to the show. 844-967-2789. Be like Jack. Call the devil's advocates. Tom from McFarland, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
You know, I got to agree. The idea that Democrats have always been lousy at messaging has been the case since I can remember. But one of the things that, you know, for good or for ill, I think one thing that Trump has demonstrated is a redefining of the bully pulpit. You and I both know that the right-wing media led by Fox is going to define and categorize Democrats and Biden as they wish. It doesn't matter what the Democrats want to promote. It doesn't matter what the Democrats want to pass. The right wing is always going to spin it that this is bad for America. So I think what the Democrats ought to do is take a page out of Trump's book and just have multiple rallies, you know, enough of the organization to get out the vote stuff, get out there and be public to the American people. This is what we're doing. And, you know, the right wing is going to have a choice of, you know, do we cover this or do we not? But start letting the Democrats define by taking this to the public rather than trying to, you know, be all cutesy, for lack of a better term, arguing this in the halls of Congress. The American people simply don't have the attention span to care about what is happening in the halls of Congress.
No, sadly, that part's probably true. Let's talk about these campaign rallies. And I don't think we should diminish the concept of souls to the polls and get out the vote. I think that's absolutely a necessary part. Not everyone is as politically active as we are. Some have to be encouraged. But Tom, damn it, man, I lost my point. Tom, you made such great ones, I lost mine. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. But, you know, one of the, like, the, I don't think they have to be politically savvy. I mean, take again a look at your standard Trumplican. They are not politically savvy at all. I mean, look at what they're being spoon-fed and they laugh it right up. Instead, they're being made to feel like they're part of a movement, that they're feeling like they're part of something, and that is specifically due to how the Republicans take the message to them. They tell their base, this is what we have to talk about. They're not bothering to try and educate them as far as how this is going to impact them. And I think that that's what the Democrats have to do, is they have to take it to the base of saying, you know, no, we're not going to tell you how the sausage is made unless you really want to know how that sausage is made. We're just going to tell you how yummy it is and how much you're going to enjoy, but you have to participate to come and get it.
Tom, let me ask you, you talk about political rallies. Who would draw a crowd? I remember when Obama came to Bascom Hill in Madison, and it was, you know, I've seen him there a couple times. I saw him there the day after he had a very unsuccessful debate against Mitt Romney, and that was a hill full of people. And then I believe I saw him the day before he won election in 2012, also on Bascom Hill, and the crowds were enormous, and the kids came out. And I don't know if Joe Biden showed up if the kids would show up in the same way. And Bernie Sanders, I've seen Bernie turn out some enormous crowds. I've seen 40,000 in New York's Washington Square Park, I believe it's called. I've seen huge crowds for Bernie, and Bernie certainly had that economic populist message that our friend Dr. Harvey Kay was talking about. That was the entirety of Bernie's platform. You know, basically it's rigged, not the elections, but the economy is rigged, and we have to fight together. It's us, the 99%. Well, that was a winning message, to my opinion, Tom. So, A, I don't know who would turn them out at the rallies, and B, do you like Dr. Harvey Kay's proposal, an economic bill of rights? Do you think that is a winning solution, at least in part for Dems?
I think it's very much a winning solution, and I think we want to be careful of not basing our success off of how Trump views success. Keep in mind during the, in fact, this is one of the complaints that Trump made as far as how the 2020 election was rigged, was because consistently he drew massive crowds, whereas Biden said, like, well, we only had, you know, a fraction of what Trump was having. The issue is what will not be the crowds. Don't let the crowds define our success. It's the message and how we are defining what we are going to be doing for the American people. That's what the press is going to cover. That's what they're going to write about, is the messaging. We can't be losing sight on the crowd factor. It has to be a quality over the quantity. And I think that that economic bill of rights is very much quantity. So let's get our, you know, our representatives go out to their districts. They're having the rallies there. You have your senators. They're going out throughout the state having rallies there. And you have it intermixed with Biden and Harris and perhaps some of the cabinet going on, you know, very targeted rallies in various regions of the country. We can get our stars, like you mentioned, Bernie Sanders, have them go out. The idea is, you know, it has to be all hands on deck of getting the message out. And instead of letting the right wing drown us in the media, we need to reverse that and drown the right wing within our public presence.
Tom, well said, man. Really appreciate you listening. I think those are some thoughtful and cogent points. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates radio show. The Republicans, they're expressing what they will do if they win back the House and or the Senate. Lots of investigations. Think Hunter Biden and his laptop. And you know who really will, you know, be gleeful? Why, Rojo calls it a target-rich environment. Like a mosquito at a nudist colony, according to Rojo. Colorful analogy. Come back with us. We're full of colorful analogies on the Devil's Advocates.